you enjoy listening to KSBJ Radio? KSBJ Radio fans, would you raise your hand? Don't you just love that? And so many amazing Christian songs that really help lift your day and keep you focused and on mission with God. One of my favorite songs that they've been playing quite a bit is by Casting Crowns, and it's called Thrive. Thrive. Now, I'm not going to sing it. This would be a fire drill if I sang it, so I'm not going to sing it. But I do want to give you some of the lyrics here I think are really powerful. Here in this worn and weary land, see if you can relate, where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high, shine like the sun, made darkness run and hide. We know we are made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Isn't that a great song? Did you like it? Well, our new series actually is entitled Made to Thrive. And I want you to think about that concept. What we're going to do in this series, we're going to explore what God says about building healthy relationships His way. And did you know that God's way is always the best way? Would you say that to somebody right now? God's way is always the best way. And we're going to be exploring that together over the next several Sundays. Now, as you know, God's plan is for us to have a growing relationship with Jesus and to have a healthy relationship with others. God designed us not to be robotic, but to be relational. And we have the capacity to love and to be loved, to know and to be known, to care and to be cared for. That's a very unique capacity that God has given us. Now, with that capacity comes opportunity for rejection, disillusionment, heartache, and even loneliness. In other words, relationships can be healthy, but they can also be risky. They can be hurtful. They can be damaging. So the question is it possible to transition from a life of, well, I'm just trying to survive, like somebody waking up saying, oh, Lord, it's morning. Have you ever felt that way? Oh, Lord, it's morning. And we're just surviving, just trying to make it another day when we are made by God to thrive. And what I want to unpack over the next several Sundays is, what does it really look like to thrive? What does that look like when you say, well, we're thriving? Does it mean that your life is absent of any adversity? Does it mean that your marriage is peaking at a high level? Everything's going your way. You're deeply connected. Does it mean all your children are in perfect alignment with the purpose and plan of God, and they're nurturing their love relationship with Christ, and they're living lives that overflow and bless other people? Does it mean all your finances are perfect? Everything's in its place. All the plates are spinning perfectly. Is that what we mean by thrive? What does that look like? And I want us to really explore that together over the next several Sundays. Is it possible to transition from a life of, I'm just trying to survive, to I'm made to thrive? Now, I believe we can move from surviving to thriving. And I want us to notice some essentials to making the move. And all I want to do today is get us moving in the right direction to move from, I'm just surviving, Lord, it's morning, to, Lord, it's morning. Now, some of you would say, no, I would never get there. I'm not a morning person. Maybe you'd say there's no way I'd ever wake up and say, Lord, it's morning. Let's go. Now, how many of you would say that would be supernatural to experience that on the morning time for you, right? Several of you, thank you for your transparency. You have ministered to me in a great way. I'm a morning person. I'm trying to relate to how you feel, but I have people in my home who are not morning people, and so I can understand somewhat. So how to move from just surviving to thriving. If you'll take out your sermon listening guide, let me give you three essentials. Essential number one, recognize the poison of isolation. The poison of isolation. We're in Genesis chapter 2, if you'll turn your Bibles there. When you look at the Bible, it's made up of two sections, Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, 39 books. You multiply 3 times 9, you get 27. There are 27 books in the New Testament. You add 39 and 27, you get 66. There are 66 books in the Bible. It was written over a 1,200-year period of time by 40 human authors divinely inspired by God to write. We have what we know as the Bible, the canon of Scripture. And we're going to go to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, which means beginnings. We're going to be in chapter number 2. What you'll discover is that Adam had God. So God creates Adam. Adam has God. There's relationship. There's connection. There's communion. Adam had God. And Adam also had the privilege of naming all the animals. So there's this zoo parade coming by, and Adam has a privilege of naming all the animals. Now, you would think he's set. Everything's good. In fact, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, after each day of creation, God looked at what he had created that day and said, it is good. Each day, on the last day, he looked at all that he had created, and he amped it up. He said, it is very good. But yet, Adam has God. Adam has the privilege of naming all the animals, and yet Adam has meaningful work each day, filled with beneficial activities. Adam was productive. He was adding value. So the question is, what was missing in paradise? What was missing? What we notice in chapter 2 is the first not good in the Bible. After God said, it is good, 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 it is very good. In chapter 2, verse 18, we're introduced to the first not good in the Bible. It comes early in Scripture, doesn't it? Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2, 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit or suitable for him. So God is declaring the first not good in Scripture. When God says it is not good for man to be alone. Why is that? God created us for companionship. God created us for community. God created us as relational beings, and we long for relationship. In fact, if you want to torture somebody, it's called solitary confinement. It's considered punishment. Why? Because we are relational beings. God created us for community and for connection. And I want you to notice what God does here in Genesis 2. God met Adam's need by creating Eve. Ladies, that's where you say, amen, finally. God met Adam's need by creating Eve to complement Adam. Now they are better together. Now they're experiencing covenant community, connection. They're able to express relationship. Adam had God. Adam had all the animals. But Adam was longing for someone like him. Someone that he could identify with and connect with. Someone that he could relate to. Someone he could do life with and grow with personally and relationally. And God met his need by creating Eve. But notice how the serpent sought to disrupt their communion with God. The devil shows up and he seeks to disrupt their communion with God and their union with each other. And that's how the devil works. Why is that? The devil despises our fellowship and our friendships. In fact, Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And where he most often attacks is in our relationships. Because he knows that if he attacks in that area, he's attacking the very heart of God, because God created us for relationship and connection and community. In order to thrive, recognize the poison of isolation and the need for relationship. Here's essential number 2. You ready for it? Say amen. Here we go. Look at number 2. Maximize the moment that changes your forever. Maximize the moment that changes your forever. There is a moment in your journey on this earth. There's a moment that will change your forever. And you don't want to miss the moment. The moment is vital. The moment has eternal implications. Don't miss your moment. Maximize your moment that changes your forever. Now, here's a great misconception. I want you to lean in on this because it's such a misunderstanding in our culture. You'll hear people say, well, we're all children of God. Have you ever heard that? Well, we're all children of God. Well, we're all seeking to go to the same place. We're just taking different roads to get there. That'd be like saying, let's go to Dallas. You can get on I-10 and go east, or get on I-10 and go west. Let's go to Dallas. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Jacksonville, or you're going to go to the west coast in California on I-10. So your direction is vital, that you don't miss this moment that will change your forever. Here's a misconception. Believing that we are all God's children. That is a fallacy. Now, I don't want to be harsh, and listen, I love people, and I want to be compassionate, but I've got to tell you the bad news, or you won't appreciate the good news. Here's the bad news. We are not all God's children. 7.4 billion people on the planet, we are not all God's children. In fact, a majority of the world's population are not God's children. And what I mean by that is they're not in relationship with God. They're not connected with God. They do not have salvation. They do not have eternal security. Let me share what the Word of God says. Psalm 51 and 5. Behold, David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So the bad news is you're born in sin. Scripture teaches us that we're shaping in iniquity. What that means is we're bent towards sin. We are born selfish, self-absorbed, self-centered. We're born separated from a holy God. That's the bad news. In Ephesians 2, 3, and in the New Testament, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. What does that mean? Children of the devil, children of the enemy. We're in darkness like the rest of mankind. That doesn't sound very good, does it? That's the bad news. In Ephesians 2:13, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, one translation says far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So there's a portrait here that we're far from God. We're disconnected. We are far away from God. But something happens where there is a pursuit to rescue us, to bring us into relationship with God, to reconcile us to our holy God. In Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, that is, enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, His Son, much more. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. So here's the portrait. If you just picture this Grand Canyon, it's our separation from our holy God. Our sin separates us from God. And there's nothing we can do to bridge the gap. We can't go down the cliff, through the valley, up the other side, and reach God. We can't build any kind of bridge. We have nothing in us. In fact, the Bible says, on our best day, whereas our righteousness is as unto God, filthy rags. So we need divine intervention, and that's bringing us, praise God, to the good news. How many of you are ready for some good news? Would you shout, ready? The bad news is we're separated from a holy God. We are not children of God. We have to be brought into the family of God. And the good news is God took the initiative to come to our rescue. I love Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we had nothing to offer, we couldn't add value, we had nothing to bring to the table, God allowed Jesus to die on the cross for us. Then Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my question for you is this. Have you experienced the event? Have you? Have you had your moment? The divine transaction. You see, salvation is an event followed by a process. Salvation is an event. It's a moment followed by a process of growth and development. Have you experienced the event? Have you had the divine transaction? My divine transaction, as many of you know, took place on March 28th, 1979, 1 month before I turned 10. So on a Wednesday night, Horseshoe Drive Baptist Church, I was under deep conviction that if I were to die that night, I would go to hell. And the preacher that night preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, shared both the bad news and then the good news. And I was convinced that I was lost, I was separated from God, that I would go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell, I wanted to go to heaven. So I came down the aisle, took that preacher by the hand, and gave Jesus my heart. And I was born again. Born from above. I had my moment, my divine transaction. Now, you are born again into the global family of God. When you have this divine transaction, this divine moment, turning from sin, trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, here's what's really awesome. In that moment, you become a child of God. So if you don't have that moment, if you don't have that divine transaction, you do not become a child of God. You're not born into the family of God. To be born into the family of God, you must be born again, born from above. Now, this is so interesting, isn't it? You did not choose to be born into your biological family. Now, some of you would say, but Pastor Stephen, if I could do it all over again, I would be born into my same biological family. Some of you would say, oh, if I had a choice in it, there ain't no way I'd be born in my biological family. I've got some other families in mind that I'd rather be born into. You have no choice in that. No choice in that. But you must choose. You must choose to be born into God's spiritual family, and you make that decision by being born again. Here's what Jesus said in John 3:3. Jesus answered Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus was a religious man who came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. That's where you get Nick at night. John 3:3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, that is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, don't miss this next statement. Establishing a right relationship with God is the most important decision you will ever make. Why is that the most important decision you'll ever make? Because it has eternity written on it. It has eternal implications. Don't miss your moment. When God draws you to himself, when he convicts you of your sin and your lostness, your separation, and convinces you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I don't have to convince you. I'm just going to share the gospel, and the Spirit of God is going to convince you of your lostness and being hell-bound and your opportunity to come into the kingdom of light and be born into your spiritual family. Don't miss the moment. Here's essential number three. Optimize the opportunities that cultivate community. Optimize the opportunities that cultivate community. You're made for relationship. You're made for connection. But you've got to optimize those opportunities that God gives you in relationship. It's a very important concept. You heard Katie in the song a moment ago between verses talk about our new identity in Christ. And that is a beautiful portrait of being born again, that you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Now that you have been born again, you express your new identity by connecting with fellow believers. And what I love about the spiritual family is that you have brothers and sisters in Christ. When you become part of the family of God, you have brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I grew up with an older brother. He's still my older brother. And I always wanted a sister. And when I was born into the family of God, now I have all these brothers and sisters that are family. We're connected forever and ever. And that's why when you travel and you meet another believer on the plane or on a train or in an automobile, wherever you meet another believer, you have like this kindred connection, this kindred spirit. You're like, I feel like I've known you my whole life. That's just a fellow believer. When Paul went in to Corinth and he was wanting to be delivered from that in just a pagan city, God in a vision said, do not fear. I have many people in this city you don't even know about. And what God was saying to Paul is, my spiritual family is global. My spiritual family is everywhere. I have people waiting for you that when you get there, you're going to have a connection, a kindred spirit. And when Jesus told the disciples, you go into a town, and if they don't welcome you, shake the dust off of your feet and move on. But however, there will be people, you knock on their door, and you will find a person of peace. That God has his spiritual family sprinkled around the world that will connect with you, and you will feel this kindred spirit because they're part of the family of God. And it's a powerful, powerful experience. So let me give you two tracks to run on. First of all, become a member. Maybe you've been checking out Champion Force, and we welcome you. We're glad you're here. We want you to keep checking us out, but we want you to get to the place where you're like, you know what? I want to be a part of this family. And now this family is the local expression of the body of Christ. There are over 367,000 evangelical churches in America. We are one of 46,000 Southern Baptist churches. We are a local expression of the global body of Christ, our spiritual family. We are a local expression, and we want to invite you to become a member of our local expression. Become a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church. In fact, our membership class, as I said earlier, is going on right now. We're going to have another one in a few weeks. You can join Champion Forest Baptist Church and be part of our family. Here at Champion Forest, we are brothers and sisters in Christ doing life and ministry together. And here's what I want you to remember. We are better together, and we're made to thrive. We are better together, and we're made to thrive. Membership matters. Are you a member? When I was growing up, we would sing this Bill and Gloria Gaither hymn, and I love the Gaither band and the vocals. They're amazing, all the songs they've written. And I believe this one was written around 1970, and it's just called The Family of God. You want me to sing it? I'll quote it. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and those folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in every victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. I want to challenge you to become a member. Here's another track to run on. I want to encourage you to connect with others in a life group. Connect with others in a life group. Now, why do we do life groups at Champion Force? Here's why. We're made for community, and we value community. As we're building our new campus, you'll be able to see two stories going up, a two-story building on the right side, and that is two stories of life groups for preschool children and adults. You'll go through our atrium to the left. You'll see our student building. It's life group space and worship space for our students. Why do we build those buildings? It's very expensive. Why do we do that? Because we value community and we value life groups. We want you to connect with people your age and your life stage. It's hard to experience that in worship. Now, we're unified in our worship, and we're glorifying God, and God is receiving our worship, and hopefully we're edified through the preaching of the Word of God. But for you to go deeper in relationship, it's the next step, which is life group. And we're going to encourage you to do that. Let me give you some benefits of a life group. Number one, authentic community. Authentic community. Life groups enable you to know and be known, to love and to be loved, to care and be cared for. It's how we do ministry through life groups. And as I've shared with you before, our vision is that your life group become the safest place on earth for you to be real. To be real and have people who will walk with you and love you through difficult times, who will accept you and help you grow and develop. Life groups are arranged to help you do life with those your age and your life stage. That's why we set up our life group system the way it is, so that you can do life with people your age and life stage and experience authentic community. The second benefit is spiritual maturity. God wants you to grow in your love relationship with him, and we grow best with other believers who are growing. And we have amazing life group teachers who will invest in your life and deposit into you, and other godly people in your life group who will invest in you and walk with you and help you build your spiritual muscles, your spiritual fortitude to become more like Jesus. Our life groups are developed to help you become a fully devoted follower of Christ. That's our vision. We want you to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. The way I like to say it is we want you to become a full court follower of Jesus Christ. All in. Fully yielded, fully surrendered to Him. And here's the good news. Your spiritual maturity is our priority. And we use the Bible as our manual. You will not go to a life group class and somebody open up Popular Mechanics magazine and say, let's work through this together. We go through the Word of God. And here's why. The Bible tells us about itself in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God, that is inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, complete, equipped for every good work. Spiritual maturity. Let me give you a third benefit. Personal accountability. Life groups are specific so you can be dynamic. Satan's number one tool in a believer's life, and especially in a man's life, and I'll deal with this on Father's Day, Satan's number one tool in a Christian's life is isolation. If he can just pull you out of community, pull you out of authentic community, pull you into isolation, he's got you where he wants you. It's a dangerous place to be, and that's his number one tool. And there's danger in attending worship only. Now, I'm glad you're here, and I want you to keep attending worship. But if you only attend worship, you're not going to feel connected. You'll be encouraged, you'll be inspired, you'll be instructed, but you're not going to feel this authentic community I'm talking about. You're not going to feel as connected if you're not in a small group doing life with people your age and your life stage. So I want to encourage you to get connected. In fact, a research has demonstrated a person involved in a life group is 5 times more likely to be active in the church 5 years later than a person who attends worship only. So if you only attend worship, it's going to be hard for you to stay connected. Encourage you to go to the next step and get connected to a life group. Did you know that Jesus had a life group? If he had a life group, what about us? If he did life with other people his age and life stage, what about us? I'm going to encourage you to connect with a life group. And all you do here is just go to the Next Step booth and someone there will give you a printout of here's a life group options available to you. And next Sunday, just go try one out. And you don't have to pour concrete and say I do on the first date. Just go check out a life group and say, you know what, I like this. I feel like we could connect here with this group. And this teacher really speaks into my heart. And we can ask questions, we can get to know one another, and we can have fellowships together, and we can really do life together, and we can cry together, and we can rejoice together, and we can serve together as a life group. And I really encourage you to do that. Several years ago, I heard a story about a deacon who went to visit a church member. And this particular church member had not been to church in many, many months, so we call them MIAs. Missing in action. They're a member, but they just haven't been in so long. Disconnected, dislodged. And so this deacon went to make this visit. And once he got there, he was invited inside. And so here's the deacon with another gentleman who was a member, but just disconnected. And they talked for a little bit, then it went silent. And then the deacon just got up and went toward the fireplace, and he took the tongs, and he went in and reached in and got an ember that was glowing hot. And he pulled out that ember and he put it on the surface right in front of the fireplace, and he just laid it on the floor, put the tongs over there, and he sat down. And they both just watched the ember, and as you can imagine, it slowly lost its glow and dissipated. The deacon got up, grabbed the tongs, and reached down and picked up the ember that had lost its glow, picked it up, put it back in the fire. And he walked out in silence. What a visual reminder that we are better together and we're made to thrive.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.